Matthew chapter number 13.
Verse number 24. Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my salvation, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that you would ever keep covenant with man, Lord, that you'd ever do anything for us, oh wretched, vile vessels. God, how we've displeased thee and done wrong before thy eyes, but God, you have promises in your word. And we're thankful, Lord, that you'll be with us. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, as you told Abraham and made a covenant with him, Lord, the father of faith, that you'd be with him. And Lord, as you told the children of Israel that God would fight for them when they came into the land. God, I pray that you'd fight for me tonight, Lord, that you'd work in power through me. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand and preach your word. But God, you saw fit to call me. And you sent me, Lord, to where you want me to be. And I pray, Lord, through power and conviction and reproof, Lord, whatever you need tonight, I pray, God, you'd work. And I stand assured knowing that you will. God, that you love us and that you want us to draw close to you. You want us to follow you and serve you and do what you want us to do. We're grateful tonight, Lord, and we love you and we seek to love you more. In Jesus' sweet name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we find in the Bible here in Matthew chapter number 13, we find a man here, we find a parable here about a man that sowed good seed in his field. I'll give you a few facts about this. We find here that it's wheat is the good seed. I researched a little bit about wheat. Wheat grows 2 to 4 feet tall. Some varieties can grow all the way to 7 feet tall. The head of wheat has around 50 kernels. One bushel of wheat has 1 million kernels. 1 acre of wheat in Kansas produces enough wheat to feed 9,000 people for one day. Just an acre. That's amazing. Kansas yearly, the production that they have would make 36 million loaves of bread and feed the 6 billion or however many people on the earth for 2 weeks. Just in Kansas. That's talking about what God can do with wheat. And if we're saved tonight, then you're wheat. You're likened unto the wheat. You're likened unto the wheat in the field that the master, the Bible said there that the man planted the seed. But the Bible, when he gives the interpretation, he says it's the Son of Man that plants the seed in the field. And the field being the world. But also we find that not only was the wheat planted, but what they believe to be darnel is what it's called. It grows over there in Israel. It's called darnel. It's a plant that looks a lot like wheat. It can grow the same height. It looks the same until harvest time. That's what the parable says. They found out the difference between the tares and the wheat when the harvest time came. And so we see that even us, that we should be able to tell about who we are. He even mentioned this morning that I'm a fruit inspector. And you should be a fruit inspector.
The Bible's pretty clear that his wheat shouldn't go and be going along with the people of this world and fellowshipping with them. Not to say that we're not to tell them about Jesus and love them to Jesus, but the fact of the matter is we're not to live like they do. We're not to produce what they produce. We're to produce something that's holy and righteous, and that's the fruit that God has given us through the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit, to be loved, to love, kind, I mean, to have meekness. I mean, we're not to produce like they produce.
That's right.
Seeds are more spread out. They don't look exactly the same. That's how you tell the difference. When the seeds come on, they're more spread out. They're not together. They're not in unity. Mm-hmm. And so we see not only that, but they say, scientists say that there a lot of times there's a fungus that grows on this darnel, on all of them. And if you ingest this plant, instead of giving you life like bread would, which we look back to the bread of life in John there, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so we see here some things about this darnel. When you eat it, when you ingest it, it'll cause sleepiness. It'll cause drowsiness. It'll cause intoxication. It'll cause trembling. It'll cause hindered speech. I want to tell you something. The devil does not want you to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So it hinders your speech. It causes dim-sightedness. Some say it'll cause blindness. The devil doesn't want you to be able to see. He wants you to be blind. That's what I was for 13 years of my life, believing I was saved and on my way to heaven. When I lived like the devil and I lived like his way, and the Bible said that the devil went his way. He does have a way, and his way in the Bible is called the broad way that leads to destruction.
Amen.
It causes nausea. It causes vomiting. It causes, this is the word that I saw, stupefaction. Cause you to be stupid.
Amen.
Just like I was for 13 years of my life, stupid. Thinking I had everything to look forward to. Going down the way of the world, looking to everything the world has to offer. So I want to preach to you tonight on this one thought. Who are you serving? Are you serving the... There's two masters here. There's two lords here. There's even Jesus calls the devil a father. He told his, he said to Pharisees, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And so you have two masters. You have two different ways. You have two different seeds. You have two different ways of serving. You have two different ways of different results in that fruit that comes off of these plants. The devil always offers you death. The devil never offers you life. He don't want to see you, and he don't want to see you succeed. He doesn't want to see you prosper. You say, well, there's a lot of lost people that are rich, but I'm here today to tell you, they ain't prospering. The Hollywood people that are here in this country are not prospering. How do you know? Because they're still killing themselves. They're still getting on the drugs. They're still needing a new high. They're still wanting something else. And the only one that'll ever fill that void is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the Bible says here, we won't turn to Isaiah 14, but you know the scripture there about the devil. He said, I will ascend into the heavens. I will be like the Most High. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of the sky. I mean, he said everything about that verse in Isaiah 14, he said, I. And that's the way of the devil. The devil wants you to think about you. He wants you to think about yourself. He wants you to think that God is all about you instead of you being all about God. He's not all about us. It's all about Him. We live to give Him glory. The Bible said all things were created by Him and for Him. In Revelation, He said that He created everything for His pleasure. And so people today have a God in their mind that is a God that's not the God of the Bible. They want a God that'll just do whatever they want to do. They want God to be like an image, an idol. They want God to look like they do, or look like the Bible even says that they make idols that look like them. They want them to look like them. They want them to have their lifestyle. They don't want anything to be mentioned about sin. They don't want anything mentioned about wrong or anything done. They don't like preaching. They don't want the right ways. So let's look at a few people in the Bible. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 3. We'll find a child of the devil. About chapter number 4. The Bible says there in chapter number 4, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." So we see two different people here in the Bible. We find here that Cain, he was a man that stood against righteousness. He did not like the right way. How do you know that? The Bible says that Abel was the keeper of the sheep. The Bible says that Cain was the tiller of the ground. And I break that down just thinking about it. This is just me and what I think in Genesis. I believe who raised Cain a lot of the time. I believe it was Adam. Why? Because Adam was the tiller of the ground. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He took into what God had given Adam to do, and that was to till the ground by the spread of his brow. I mean, he was to till the ground. So was Cain. Adam taught Cain how to till. Adam taught Cain how to grow and prosper in the midst of thorns and in the midst of the curse that God had put on the ground because of Adam's sin. Right. And so I believe Abel. How do you believe about Abel? I believe Abel was raised by I didn't believe that because the Bible said he was a keeper of the sheep.
That's right.
So we find here Cain. Cain is a man that did not like the right way. Why do you say that? Because the Bible said he was wroth. He was angry. He was angry at somebody that would do the right thing and get accepted by God when he was doing the wrong thing and wanted God to accept his lifestyle. We live in a day where people today want God to accept their lifestyle. If you have a lifestyle today, if anybody in this world has a lifestyle, I've got a brother today that says he's a Christian and a sodomite. My friend, the Bible is clearly against sodomy.
Amen.
That's right.
God's not going to accept that lifestyle.
No.
So how do you know that? It's in the old, it's in the new. Mm-hmm. So we find Cain, and Cain stood against righteousness. So my question to you is, what do you think about righteousness? What do you think about the right way? What do you think about the old path? What do you think about the... I'm telling you, we've gone a long way. If we were just look back a 100 years and look back at our forefathers and what they believed and what they carried and what they did and how they preached and how they went about and how they did to see people get saved. If we look back, I'd say a lot of us departed from the old path, from the old ways. What do you think about the right way? What do you think about God's way instead of the devil's way, his way? What do you think about sin and righteousness? Nobody likes to mention about sin. Nobody likes, I mean, we're okay with anybody mentioning drunkenness. Yeah, the people we're against alcoholism. I mean, we're against drunkenness. We're against the things that will cause you to be intoxicated. I mean, some people are against tobacco, and I'm against it. But when we start hammering down, what do you really think about sin? What do you really think when it gets into your house? When God gets into your home, when God begins to reprove you, do you say Jesus does that? I say he did it. Bible said he went into a house of a Pharisee, and there he reproved them for how they were living and what they were doing. My friend, what do we think about what we watch on TV? The Bible says if any man, he said, David said it like this. He said, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes."
Amen.
We say we're against fornication, but we're watching on TV. I'm telling you, my friend, that's a sin unto God.
Yep.
Bible says anybody that has pleasure in the things that they do, he is worthy of death. Romans chapter number 1. It's the same thing with I hear a lot of people say, "Well, I love Westerns. I love John Wayne. I love those things." I'm telling you, John Wayne was nothing but a whoremonger. John Wayne was nothing but a drunk. John Wayne was nothing but a cursor. John Wayne was nothing but I don't want my kids to be like. I would want them to be like he is, and I don't want them to watch what he does.
Amen.
That's sin. Whoremongering, whether it's reality or unreality, still wrong. What do we feel about sin? What do we think about the things that are so worthy? Because God's against them. This man, I'm glad for the people that are like Abel. Get back to Abel. Abel in the Bible, Abel's the shepherd, the sheep keeper of the sheep. You'll never find in your Bible in Genesis where Abel was told that they could eat the sheep.
No.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 8, that's when he told Noah, you can eat the animals. But he told Adam, he said, you'll eat of the herb of the ground.
That's right.
And so what was the point of him keeping the sheep? What was the point of him being a keeper of the sheep? It goes back to that place there in Genesis chapter number 4. She said there in 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. What was Abel doing with keeping the sheep? If you remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam sinned willfully against God, and when Eve was deceived by the serpent, the Bible says God told her, it's going to be in going to bear children in travail. There's going to be pain. There's going to be agony. It's the first time in her life she's ever felt pain. When she had pain and when she had Abel, I mean, it's the first time she's remembering back to that place where God looked at that serpent. He said, from thy seed, from her seed, her seed will bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel.
Right.
So he was keeping the sheep. What happened after that? What happened after they felt the guilt and the shame of their nakedness? Them being naked in the garden, when they began to feel shame and guilt, and they never felt that being perfect. Could you imagine how that felt?
Mm-hmm.
God said, all right.
He went down and slew the lamb. The Bible said the lamb will not lose the lamb. He slew a lamb. What did he do with that lamb? He made coats of clothes.
He clothed them, symbolizing what he would do. I believe Adam knew a lot more than we think he did, symbolizing what God would do down the road. Now that they were in guilt and in shame, there was somebody that came by their way and helped them to get away from their guilt and their shame, the nakedness that they were in. And even though they made aprons of fig leaves, God made them a garment that was holy before him. And he covered them, and he covered their shame, and he covered their guilt. I'm so glad for one day there was a lamb. His name is Jesus. He was slain from the foundation of the world. He chose from the foundation of the world. He would come and give his life a ransom for our guilt and our shame.
Amen.
Oh, happy day when he clothed me. Woo! And he clothed me with his righteousness. The Bible said, he who knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we might become the righteous, that we might become his righteousness.
Amen.
And Abel loved that way. How do you know that? Because God said in the New Testament, Abel was righteous. And Cain went in his way. And Cain left the presence of the Lord. So we find the first man here. We find Cain who stood against righteousness. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 15. We find a man that stood against the king. The Bible said, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Absalom meaning the father of peace, but he's the absolute opposite of peace. He brought discord. He brought contention. He brought strife. He brought bitterness. He even hooked up with Ahithophel, who was bitter at David because of his granddaughter being the one that was Bathsheba. He hooked up with her, and through that he got bitter against David. That's why he rose up against David, and they bonded together, and he began to stand against the king. We're living in a day where this old contemporary world and this old changing the books and changing the song books and changing what the Bible says. They're wanting a God that's not a God to be served. They're wanting somebody that'll get them out of hell, from hell out of free card. They're wanting somebody that'll just give them what they want and let them do what they want to do. See, their Jesus is like a bell, a leash. You walk him around any way you want him to go. That's the Jesus that the contemporary world wants you to have. That's what they're teaching. That's what they're preaching. They hate the right way. They hate the way of the Bible. And they stand against the king. I don't know about you and I don't know where I'm at, but I don't know what you think about the Lordship of Christ. I don't know what you think about it, but the Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus thou.
thou shalt, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. You're not coming just to receive a get out of hell free card. You're coming to receive a Lord, a King of glory, a Lord of lords, a King of kings. He was Lord at his birth. He is Lord now. He was Lord. Even the angel said he was Lord. And that's what they're trying to slowly take away. People like John MacArthur and things have tried to keep turning people away from the lordship of Christ. But I'm here today. He's still Lord. And if you're ever going to receive him as a Savior, you're going to come and receive him as who he is.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
He is Lord. Bible says in Romans chapter number 14, he both lived, revived, he basically resurrected that he might both be Lord over the dead and over the living. And we want to tear that out of the Bible because a lot of people don't want to live for him. I'm telling you, you get saved tonight, you're going to be a different person because God does the salvation work on you. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is what he does. Salvation is how he transforms you. Salvation is how he gets a hold of you. And he puts a new spirit in them. He puts a new heart in them, according to Ezekiel and Jeremiah. He said, I will give them a new heart. I'll take out the stony heart of flesh and put a heart of flesh inside of them. What does that mean? Stony being rebellion and a heart of flesh being tender. It's somebody that walks anyway.
Amen.
I don't want to go against y'all.
So Absalom stood against the king. What do you think about Jesus being king? What do you think about you being servitude to Jesus? That you would be his servant. That you would do what he says. That you would follow him. He said, if any man will come after me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. The Bible said Absalom. So we got not only Absalom stood against the king, but we find Balaam. Balaam in the Bible, Numbers chapter 31 and verse number 16. We find a man that stood against God's people. That stood against the flock. That stood against the things that God's people would do. The Bible said in verse number 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. The Bible said there was a plague. And there Balaam, he went before Balak Peor, and he convinced Balak by through his consultation and him talking to him and telling him some things. So Balak went back and said, all right, I figured it out. Let's send out the ladies and let them dance before the men. Let's see them half naked. Let's let them dance before them and draw them in to the worship of idols. And therefore, God would have to judge them and judge the people of God. I mean, what do you think about God's people? People that love church. People that love to come to the house of God. People that love the old songs of Zion. That love Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I'm not talking about your chains are gone. I'm talking about Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me.
Saved by the crucified. The Psalms, the church, the people of God. The right way.
What do you think about God's people? What do you think about? What do you think about when you come and see people say amen? What do you think about when you see them come together and there's joy in their life? What do you think about the people of God? Because Balaam stood against God's people. Balaam went in the way of the devil. He's mentioned over there in the New Testament as one of the ones is in Cain and Balaam. And Balaam stood against God's people with his way. He wanted it like this. He wanted God to give him what he wanted, and he would give what God told him to say. God, I want to tell you exactly what you say. But in the end, really what he wanted, we found out what he wanted when he got on the donkey and started down the road before they ever came to get him. He was looking for them to give him something for what he was doing. He moved in with them. He joined up with them. He
in their way. He helped them destroy the people of God. That is not God's way. God's way is not for you to go out in the parking lot and destroy God's people with how they preach or how they sing or whatever. If they don't sing good, let them sing, because the Bible says let them sing. Make them make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yes.
Balaam stood against God's people. Now let's look at Numbers chapter number 16. We find a man that stood against God's man. Bible said here, now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. They stood against God's man. What do you think about preaching? Do you like preaching? Do you like preaching if it's loud? Do you like preaching if it's soft? I'm telling you, I like preaching when God's in it.
Right.
No matter what. If it's soft and quiet, I like it if God's in it. If it's loud and God's in it, I'm not all for it.
That's right.
And people today want to stand against the preacher. He has to fight every little thing that comes along. Everybody's getting in a conflict with one another. Everybody's worrying about where they're seated. Somebody took my spot. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. Oh, my friend, we need to get back to where we love the man of God and love the preaching of God and love the whole book of what it says. We want the preacher to preach against those sins I talk about. We want the preacher to preach against the things. You say, well, it don't matter if you listen to some music that's not in the hymnal or whatever. You go out there, young person, listen to me. You go out there and you listen to your rock music. You're just as much in sin listening to rock music as anybody is. God's not in Nirvana or all the things in this world. God's not in those things. God's not 100 miles of them. And if you're saved today, you're not supposed to be 100 miles of them either. Whether it's country bunk or rock and roll or rap music or whatever it is, it's the way of the devil. The way of God is singing with our hearts to the Lord.
Amen.
Singing and speaking songs. So many people go out and listen to that junk. Let me tell you, young person, that's going to ruin your mind. I go through Taco Bell sometimes or somewhere, and they're playing that stupid music that I listen to. It's amazing. We've gone, I'm 14 years old. I believe I'm about 14 years old in the Lord. And for 14 years, they still sing the same songs that was back there when I was listening. And they start going on in my mind. I'm telling you, you better get away from them. What you put in your mind, you'll never get out. And the devil will use that to get you distracted. The devil will use that to get you sidetracked. My friend, if you're a Christian and listen to the junk of this world, and you're hearing a preacher, what do you think about preaching?
Mm-hmm.
He stood against God's man. What does God think about standing against the preacher? What does God think about going back home when you don't like what the preacher says, start talking about it? You find out what he thinks. Moses looked up and said, he said, son of Korah, he said, if God doesn't do something basically to destroy you in a way that hasn't been done, then I am not sent from God. And the Bible says they stood there and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. The Bible said they went down quickly. He said, well, you think it's all right to go home and mock the preacher? It's not all right to go home and mock the preacher. How do you know that? I can turn over to Elisha. And the Bible said them children come out and they mocked Elisha. They laughed at him. They said, oh, go up, old Baldy. Go up, old Baldy. The Bible said Elisha turned around and cursed them.
That's right.
Two she-bears come out of the woods and tore 42 children up.
Mm-hmm.
You think God playing? He's not. He cares about his men.
That's right.
Amen. Like he said, he's the only man that's up in the middle of the night praying for you. He's the only man willing to get up in the middle of the night. I'm not saying there's nobody here that does. If he gets a burden on him, he gets a burden on his life or somebody in the church, he wants to see somebody get saved, he's up night and night after night praying and seeking God's face. I'd say I wouldn't want to talk about him. I wouldn't want him. If there's anybody, if he's in God's will and you believe in him, you
brought the right man here to this church, and he's in God's will, and you're in God's will. My friend, he's the best one that can preach to your numbers about Jesus. He's the best one that can preach the gospel to them. He's the best one that can lift up his voice and let you know of your sin and the things in your life. Because he's God's man. He's the man of God. So I don't like that title. It's in the Bible. Oh, Timothy, oh man of God. Elijah, oh man of God. David, called a man of God. So we find a man that stood against God's man. Look at Jeremiah 42. I'm getting there. We're going to get to the good here in a minute. Jeremiah 42. 5 and 6. Then they said to Jeremiah, "The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." So we find some people in the Bible that stood against God's word. They stood against God's word. They came to Jeremiah and said basically what was in their heart. They were saying, "Jeremiah, we want you to tell us that God's telling us to go to Egypt. God wants us to go down to Egypt, the place of this world, the place of the flesh, the place where God had to take Moses out of the wilderness and beat Egypt out of him." Through. How do you know that? The Bible says in Acts that he was a man of Egypt that was fair in speech. I mean, he was a man that could orator. He was somebody that knew the ways of Egypt. I mean, if he could war against them, and Moses knew how to deliver the children of Israel. But the Bible said that he said, "I'm a deliverer." And he went before the people thinking they would believe the same. But God had to take him out in the wilderness. God had to shepherd him. God had to put him out with a flock and teach him how to shepherd and how to tie and how to lead. And the Bible said when he came up to the fire, the bush that was on fire, the Bible said, he said, "I cannot speak."
What was God doing? God was beating the Egypt at him. He became a man that was humble, saying, "God, I can't do that." Mm-hmm. God even had to get onto him and say, "Did not I make your tongue?" So we find the people that stood against God's word. What do you think about God's word? What do you think about the people that changed it?
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think about the verses that are missing?
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother.
That's easy. What do you think about what the Bible says about modesty? Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy chapter number 2 is still in there.
What do you think about biblical modesty? It's still in the Bible. What do you think about what we watch and what we do? The Bible says have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of God.
Right.
The Bible says not have. The Bible says to abstain from the very appearance of evil. The Bible says to abhor that which is evil. What does abhor mean? The Bible says we are to hate, we are to detest evil. We're not to join up with. We're not to look like the world and think that if we look like the world, we'll draw them in. We're not to do like they do. We're not to play parties and have games and all the things to try to draw people in. That's not what we draw people in with. We draw people in with the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of Jesus and the preaching of His word. And we draw people in through us being different than them
all.
Amen. Everybody's against biblical modesty, but they don't want to ever go read 2 Timothy and study it. I challenge you, go look at it. Go look at what God says. What do you think about His word, man? What do you think about it? What do you think about Genesis to Revelation? He didn't change when Malachi hit the book. He didn't change from being a different God to
God to a different God in the New Testament. He's still the same God from Genesis to Revelation. He's still the God of the Old Testament. He's still the God of the New Testament. When He hated sin in the Old Testament, and the Bible even says that He hates all the workers of iniquity, if He hates even the workers of iniquity, the Bible says there is the foundation of God stands sure, having been sealed, He knoweth the Lord, knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're not to be like they are. We're not to give the seeds of drunkenness out of this world. We're not to give the seeds of nakedness. We're not to give the seeds of a hinder speech. We want to let them know if you'll call out on God, if you'll call out on His name, if you'll call out on the Savior, if you'll call out on the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, He's still got the power. He's still got the ability. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the changing business. But what do you think about God's Word? Don't tear something out.
That's right.
Join up with it. That's what he preached this morning. We ought to go by what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Jeremiah, chapter number 6. He got on it this morning. They stood against God's way. The old paths.
That's right. Amen.
Let's just look at it. It don't hurt to go back. Thus standeth, saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. Look in the ways. Look around us. Look at the prostitution. Look at the drugs. Look at the adorning like we're some animals out there in this world. I mean, look at what God has given us. Look around us. See, stand in the ways. Stand and look. Stand and look at what's going on. Stand and look at their ways. What did he say? He said, and see. And ask for the old paths. Do you really want to be on the old paths? Do you really want to be up on that with a burden from God about a sinner that needs to be saved? Do you really want to fast and deal with and get away from the thing, from food for a little while so that somebody can get in? Because God begins to hear the prayer of your fasting and begins to see the burden that He put upon you for that lost sinner. Do we really want the old way? Do we really want the old paths? Do we really want to praise the Lord? Do we really want to get excited for Jesus? Do we really want to do something for God?
Amen. There you go.
We too consumed with Facebook.
Yeah.
I've heard it many times. I think it makes pretty good sense. Get your face out of Facebook and put your face in the book. You know why? Because the book is eternal. It's living. Facebook is going to be a part. It's just going to be destroyed.
Yep, that's right.
What did they say? We will not walk therein.
That's right.
Look at what he said in chapter number 5. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish. For they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of the God of their God. I will get me to the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. God did not save you to just let you do whatever you want to do.
That's right. Amen.
He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a yoke. It's something you put around your head. I mean, it's something that you walk with the Lord with. I mean, he's basically telling us in those verses, I want to walk with you, but I want to keep you. I've got a certain way. I've got a straight path. I've got a narrow path. I've got a narrow gate. And I want you to walk therein. I want you to find out the old path. He said, what did they do? They broke the yoke. They said, we don't want that. What was their yoke? The yoke was their law. In the Old Testament, they said, no, we don't want that. We don't want that way. We don't want to go to do a Passover. We don't want to serve God in a certain way. We want to have other gods as well. We want to have God on the weekend and other gods the rest of the week. But that is not the God of the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
And they stood against God's way. John chapter number 19 and verse 15. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered and said, we have no king but Caesar.
They stood against the Messiah. What do you think about all these things? Because it'll give you a place where you really are. We live in a day where people have been prayed in or whatever. They've had false professions that they got saved when they was such and such age as a kid, like I was, and they live like the devil, but they're saved and on their way to heaven. My friend, if you can live like the devil, if you can go in his way, if you can be against God's word, if you can stand against the king, if you can rebel against the preacher, if you hate going to church and you hate God's people, church is not this four-walled building. Church is the people of God. Church is where we assemble together in unity to go and do something for God. Church is where we encourage. I'm telling you, I want to be encouraged. I want to be like Abel. I want to be one that loves the right way. That said, you know what? I want that sacrifice. You know what? I want that place of no guilt and no sin. I'm telling you to be an old wretched sinner that I am, that I was, the way that I live. I'm telling you it's real good to know that my faith is clean, that my sins are gone, that my sins are better than washed away by the blood of the Lamb. That song says it's underneath the blood. But my friend, it's not just underneath the blood. It's not underneath the blood. They're washed away. I like to sing it like this. He says, I'm underneath the blood. He said, but I like to sing it like I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood.
Right.
Amen. They're not just as far as the east is from the west. They're not just in the sea of forgetfulness. They're gone, gone, gone.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I want to be like David. David did hate God. You said, but what about David? What about David murdering Uriah? And David having an affair with Bathsheba?
And David having a child out of wedlock? What about that David? That same David, when that man of God, Nathan the prophet, came up into his face and pointed his finger at David and said, "You are the man."
Yes.
He said, "You're right." And he got down and sat off and ashes. That's the right.
That's right.
Repentance isn't just the salvation. Repentance is everything.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
When we do something against God, we are to repent. And that's what David did. David loved the king. David wrote more psalms. David wrote the Psalms 119. I mean, if we'd go through it, buddy, we'd get some goodness out of it. And we'd get some the good things of God from it. Because you know why? Because David loved God.
That's right.
David was a man after God's own heart. David was the one that stood up against the giant. I'm telling you today, we've got more giants than we've ever had. We've got more giants than we've ever seen. We've got more people standing against the right way than ever before. They mock it, they laugh at it, they joke about it. I have more problem with people in so-called Christian in churches that stand against the preaching, that stand against God's word, than I do with a lot of lost folks.
Mm-hmm.
But David loved God. I think about Balaam. But I don't want to fit Jacob up to
I'm going to mess up his name. I don't want to forget the son of Aaron, the son of Numbers chapter 31. I don't want to forget him. You know why? The Bible said when Zimri and Gozbi came before the congregation, and what were they doing? Just like the contemporary world's doing, they wanted God to accept their life.
Yep.
Just accept that I went to Moab and I got a woman and I married her. And her name was Gozbi. But the Bible says that God was pleased with one. He said that they stood against Balaam, but there was Eliezer the priest and one of his sons.
They stood against the sin and he ran and he got a javelin and he went into the tent.
And Gozbi and Zimri were there and he took the
javelin and put it right through him.
That's right.
He said, I don't like that. It's still in the Bible.
That's right.
You know what he was doing? He was standing against sin.
Amen.
And you know what the Bible said? He said, because of his zealousness before the Lord, he said, I'll bless him. He said, God blessed his son. God blessed the priest. God blessed him because of his zealousness for the Lord. I don't want to forget him. I don't want to forget on the Peor over there with Korah. The Bible said he was mentioned. He came up against God's man. He spoke up against God's man. He was right there with him. But when you find out they were judged the next day, why was his name not written down?
I'll tell you why I believe. I believe he repented. I believe he saw we're in a bad shape. We're going to do wrong. We're not doing right. And his name is not mentioned as those that go down into the pit. It was Korah and Abiram and Dathan. They went down, and Dathan and Abiram, all their family went down into the pit. But on a Peleth, he repented. I want to be a man of repentance. I want to be a man that flees from sin. I want to be a man that says, I'm not going to do that against God's man. I want to be a man, if I said something against God's man, I want to get it right.
Amen. See, that's hard. Oh, yeah, it is hard.
We had a man come to our church years ago. I never met him, but pastor knew him for years.
He was older and he was on medicine.
And he got up there and he was out of his mind. That was just a plain and simple. He was out of his mind. He couldn't keep track of anything he was doing. And I opened my mouth and I said, why? What a blessing. God will come here and preach. He's just wasting time. We went to our pastor's camp meeting, and my brother makes an ask this man to get up and preach. And I guess the man had gotten off the
medicine, but he had his mind back. And he helped me. He preached to me.
He helped me in my life. The Holy Spirit came along and said, you remember what you said when you
see him? And every time I'd see him, the Holy Ghost said, I want you to go tell him. And I finally called him in the bathroom and I said,
Brother Nolan, I need to tell you something. I spoke against you. You came to the church and you were on medicine. I didn't know it, but I opened up my mouth and said that it was a waste of time that you preached. And you did that, I did. You know why? Because God put repentance in me. It's granted unto us.
And I want to follow him. And I know there's people of God that want to follow him. So I don't want to remember. I don't want to forget on. I don't want to forget God's people. I don't want to forget Jeremiah. I don't want to forget Elijah.
I don't want to forget Enoch who walked with God. I want to have a relationship that walks with him.
I don't want the TV. I don't want the social media. I don't want the things of this world.
I don't want the movies and all the things to deter me. I want to get in his face. I want to see a new word. I want to see the power of God move like it did in the past in our country. Oh, see the day again where God moves in, and God in His presence, and God in His mercy moves in and begins to deal with sinners and begins to break down the deception of falsehood that's in a lot of our churches. I don't want to forget the people of God. I don't want to forget Joshua, who loved God and wanted to be everybody else who had been born to. This is fired up. But the Bible let us see him down there at the tabernacle of the congregation. The Bible said Moses talked with God as unto face to face, as unto friend of God. And God spoke to him. And the Bible opens up a little corridor there and lets us see a man that said it's not enough to be in the tent or to worship God, but it's enough to be in the tabernacle and to stay with God. The Bible said Moses went down to tell the people about what was going on, what God had said. And the Bible pinpoints back and puts the camera on old Joseph. Said Joshua, he was on his knees in the tabernacle, praying unto God.
Give you a few things, and I'll be done. Wheat has plenty to give. Wheat's not about taking. Wheat's not about getting back at one another. Wheat's not about intoxifying somebody. Wheat's not about drawing them into the sin of this whole world. Wheat is about giving. How do you know that?
You see a picture of the wheat, that old head bowed over. All them seeds there is ready to drop off into the ground.
That's right.
Ready to produce what? More wheat.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And when the preaching of reproof comes along and the Holy Spirit begins to convict and draw sinners,
that old wheat's not standing against that. That old wheat's bowing down. That old wheat's wanting to be in the presence of God.
Wheat improves strength and increases lifespan. The devil, he's a thief. He cometh forth to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
we increase his lifespan. We loves to be in full sunlight. Oh, to get back in his presence. If I could ever encourage anybody, if you don't have a prayer closet,
you don't have a solitary place. Say, ladies, well, men used to go out in the woods. Ladies, well, I've got a great grandmother. She was known for going up the mountain. Every morning and every evening. There's testimony in the valley of people saying, I heard that woman pray. And I never heard anybody pray like that.
Amen.
I want that.
If you don't have a prayer closet, ladies, if you got a closet, some of you are going to clean out some shoes.
That's right.
And get down on our knees and say, God, I'm for you. I'm not against you.
Maybe there's something you just never saw. Maybe you just never knew what sacred it was. Maybe no one's ever broke it down for you. But God, I don't want to be against you. Show me. I'm for you. I've been sitting here tonight before God. But if you're lost tonight, if you stand against me, if you stand against his way,
yeah.
You said, I won't walk there, here, preacher. I'd run to him. Because he's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Amen.
He is the best thing, as that song said. And I love him. I want to get closer. I don't want to get further.
I don't want some stupid thing to keep me from his presence.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, I pray for those, Lord, who may be in here tonight that don't know you. God, maybe they were fooled down the road. Lord, I was fooled for so long thinking I was saved. And God, I wish I could have went back. God, I pray for them. I pray for their lives. I pray for the condition, Lord. I pray for the direction they're heading. I pray for the decisions they're going to have to make. Pray for these young people, Lord, that are making, they're going to be going off, Lord. They're going to have to make decisions. And decisions will either destroy or give life. I pray, Lord, for the people of God, Lord, that love you. Lord, if there may be something in my life, Lord, that displeases you, Lord, I pray that you'd reveal it to me tonight, that I may come to the altar and get it right. God, I want to see you do some work. I want to see your mighty hand. Lord, we all do love you tonight, and we seek to love you more. In Jesus' sweet name, amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. We'll have an invitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening.